This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
Welcome to My Millennial Property. You're joined by John Pidgeon and Emily Wallace. Hello, Emily.
Hello, hello.
Interesting topic today, and we can only report and comment on what it is at the present, but it's the land tax versus stamp duty conversation. So there's been a fair bit in the media of late, and it started off in New South Wales about potentially abolishing stamp duty for all purchases and entering the market so that it makes getting in for the first time more affordable because it is a fair whack based on the purchase price of the property, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I also think different thresholds can impact the market as well when it comes to stamp duties. So it's an interesting topic to unpack. I'm keen to discover more on this, definitely.
Well, we'll start from the start. We'll talk about basically what land tax is and how it does or does not apply as we see it today. As we've mentioned, it's a state-based tax that is only applicable to investment properties, right? So if you've got your own home that you live in, you won't be charged any land tax at all in the state that you own that home, right? So it doesn't apply to owner-occupiers. The tax only applies to investors that own land of the value above the threshold in that particular state that you're in. Okay, so I'll give you an example. So for New South Wales, the land tax general threshold is around about $630,000, might be a little bit higher now. But if you own land to the value of above that, you will start to pay land tax, right? Now, how that's calculated, there's a land tax calculator that you can assess what that would be. But obviously, over time, land goes up in value. So you pay this tax every year and it will only get more and more as you own that property, okay? Now, I met with someone about 5 years ago that was paying about $7,000 or $8,000 a year in land tax, all because they held multiple properties that were going up in value, all in New South Wales. So when we're talking strategy for clients, we're always keeping in the back of our mind diversification into maybe other states so that we don't have to deal with paying land tax.
Definitely. Now, I'm just going to voice a question that I think some listeners might be thinking as they're coming along this journey with us through this episode. In terms of, obviously you mentioned the thresholds and they're different in each different state. We're aware of that and you can Google to find that out most likely. But who actually determines like what the land is worth? Who says, okay, your parcel of land there is worth $500,000? Who does that?
Yeah, generally it's taken on the council rates. So you'll see your council rates come out every year and you'll see a land value estimate in that column, and generally that's the guide that it takes in order for the Office of State Revenue to charge that. Now, I believe you can contest that if you're not happy with that land valuation, and you'd get a separate one independently. So I haven't experienced it myself. Fortunately, I've never had to pay land tax, but I think you can contest that. But generally speaking, the land value in the rates notice, I think, is pretty low. It's always a little conservative, so which is great if we're looking at land tax values, that's for sure. So, yeah, just confirming that it's only on the land, it's not on the dwelling value as well, right? So you might own a property worth, say, $700,000, but the land value component of that might only be $400,000. So you, in the New South Wales example, you'd be well under that general threshold.
Yeah, perfect. I think that's good clarification just to set the scene for all the different variables on that. So land value, it's just to do on the land. Value varies from state to state on the thresholds. Mm-hmm. But basically, once you start paying it, one would assume from year one that you start paying it, ongoing you'll be paying it because land goes up in value, as we know.
That's right. Yeah. Now, hopefully the land tax bill is far less than the growth that you're getting on the property. So you might be able to wear that as a cost of doing business. But I think, generally speaking, we try to avoid it from the outset by diversification of our assets. So stamp duty, on the other hand, when we'll compare the two in a moment, stamp duty is a one-off cost where you pay to the Office of State Revenue. Again, varies on the state that you're in, that you have to pay to the ATO basically for purchasing a property in that particular state. One off, never to pay again, but it does, I suppose, prohibit a lot of people from entering the market because roughly on a $500,000 property, the stamp duty might be $20,000, $22,000, and then some states a bit more vigorous on their charging of that than others. I know your lovely state of Victoria is one of the highest of stamp duty charges. So, yeah, cost of doing business. But the debate has started around the government introducing the conversation around do we abolish the stamp duty to allow more homeowners into the market, that 20-odd grand that they don't have to come up with out of our own pocket because you can't lend on stamp duty, versus land tax and introducing land tax straight away, which I presume, and the devil will be in the detail, is maybe not having a threshold. So in the example of New South Wales, instead of the threshold being, say, $650,000, there may not be a threshold. So you'd be paying land tax right from the word go with all your properties within the portfolio.
So basically the cases that you just stated there, one is if we keep stamp duty, it's about upfront lump sum if you're over the – I mean, obviously every state's different again on thresholds and all the rest of it, but the lump sum or – this land tax, which we're saying would be applicable to everybody if they change the rules, not just investors, is that right?
Well, and that's what we're unclear of yet. And so we're speculating as to what may or may not happen, which is a good yarn to prepare people for when the news does break. But New South Wales have started the conversation at government level or state government level, and they want to get all the other states on board to produce something that's maybe a national outcome or a national decision. So potentially that could be to homeowners, that actual principal place of residence, because if the government aren't charging a stamp duty to buy our own home to live in, surely they're going to want to recoup some funds somewhere, which would normally be in the space of land tax.
Yeah, so basically if that were the case, then it's either a lump sum up front that you need to come up with, or in the land tax options, an ongoing for the lifetime of you owning that property or a property, if they do pass it, with homeowners and investors being, you know, eligible for having to pay land tax, then yeah, I mean, I wonder what the people prefer, if they prefer it up front. I mean, wish we could vote on this, right?
It'd be great to vote. I actually did a video a couple of months ago on it just because I heard the breaking news. I thought I'll have a bit of a yarn about this because it is a good conversation. And whilst we don't know the details, in that video I did some numbers or some scenarios. And I must say I probably lean towards having that upfront fee and nothing else going forward. I just, you know the old saying, money in the pocket, versus having the unknowns of my property is going to go up in value, which means ultimately one day I'm going to be paying land tax, but not only once, I'm going to be paying it every year. So I'm probably still in the stamp duty corner, although a lot of listeners will be saying, John, come on, give us a break. It's 20 grand that I don't have to pay, which means I can get into the market sooner rather than later.
You have to say my general tendency is to lean towards that ongoing, if it can be very clear as to what the ongoing might look like. And it's more so, I guess, my point of view comes from dealing with a lot of first home buyers, that stamp duty is such a knock to them in their deposit amount, that maybe once they're in the flow of, you know, mortgage repayments and all the rest of it, that paying a land tax would be a better option for them, basically, just to budget ongoing. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen? This is the biggest thing. Things in government can take quite some time, as we know,
yes,
to pass.
Yeah, no, look, it's there's a lot of water under the bridge before there is a result made, I would suggest. Talking June next year, with June 2021, if you're listening to it in 2021. Like on $1 million or $1 million purchase, which is basically the norm in Sydney right now, you've got $40,000 of stamp duty. So, look, 20% of $1 million as a deposit, you need $200K. With your stamp duty, you need $240K. So there's quite a big chunk of change that you don't need if it is abolished. So it's very attractive for the first homeowner. If we went $1 million in Victoria, wait for it, don't fall off your chair, $57,000.
Yep.
So yeah, I can see why you're gunning for land tax down there, Emily, is because, yeah, the stamp duty is a killer down in Victoria.
100%. It's, yeah, it's a tricky one, even with concessions and exemptions in place in at certain thresholds. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I've got an idea, John, actually, that I want to share with you that you can tell me if it's a terrible idea or not, but I'll reveal it after the break, and I also want to hear more from you on your thoughts on the matter.
Cool.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click Get Help, and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. We also have a panel of trusted mortgage brokers we can connect you with to get you into your first home, an investment property purchase, or to review your current loan if you don't have a broker. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers, and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click Get Help.
So, John, I have an idea.
All right, and hit me with it. What is it?
Okay. Why don't they just make stamp duty the – there must be an average stamp duty figure, right? Across all the purchases made, there must be some magical average figure that they've worked out. Why can't everyone just pay the same amount of stamp duty? And we just make it a flat fee instead of the more your property is worth, the more stamp duty you pay. I mean, is that not – a great idea?
Well, it is a good idea in theory, Emily, but the world is not even and nor is it equal. Now, I've got a conspiracy theory around it myself, and the government has seen prices double in the last 5 or 6 years in a lot of suburbs in major cities, right? So they're thinking, well, the stamp duty is definitely increased for someone coming in. We want to continue getting first home buyers into the market, so that's cool. The stamp duty is higher, so it makes it harder. But the land tax on those doubled values is going to be much more fruitful for the government than the one-off stamp duty. So I think they're trying to back us into a corner, to be honest. Now, there's word that we do have a choice. Yeah, we can actually potentially choose between copying the stamp duty up front or taking the land tax going forward. So, yeah, my vote's to pay the stamp duty going forward, but I can understand some people's pain out there of that being a major obstacle. Now, I want to look to other countries and indeed one state in Australia that's already made these moves. So Australia is seen as somewhat behind the times, still having stamp duty in place, and land tax is quite common in other countries. So in New Zealand, for example, the government makes a lot of their money from GST at 15%, not 10%, right? So I actually don't mind that as well, and we don't want to get into politics and every other tax around the world, but New Zealand don't actually have a stamp duty as such. And the UK also has a really low stamp duty amount, so that allows first homeowners to get into the market more or easily, I suppose. But the ACT, our capital in Canberra, now they've implemented in 2012, I think it was, a 20-year phase-out stamp duty. So it's a long time. So 32 is when their stamp duty will basically end, I suppose, and get gradually phased out. So we're halfway through that, give or take, right now in the ACT. So you actually pay a lot less stamp duty in the ACT than you do in other states of the country. But they may have other rules around land tax that you just need to check as well. Okay, so they're sort of leading the way at the moment, and New South Wales are thinking, well, this mightn't be a bad thing. Let's entertain it and let the people vote.
I mean, obvious question again, but do you ever think it would just be nationalised? Like, it's so interesting how the property world, not only at a consumer level but also at an industry level, it's just not nationalised. Every state has their own rules, own regulations you have to adhere to, and I'm sure that's the same in a lot of different industries. But what's your thoughts on this ever coming to a national agreement where Aussies are treated all as Aussies no matter what state you're in?
Yeah. Look, I think you're right. It would be much easier for everyone if there was a national standardised across every industry. Like, education's the same. What's taught in New South Wales very different for Victoria, Queensland, WA, etc. So, yeah, I agree with you. It does need to be nationalised. But I suppose what's happening in Dubbo or Orange or Ballarat or, I don't know, Benalla, wherever I'm talking regionals, very different from what's happening in Melbourne and Sydney. So a lot of government decisions are made on the back of what's happening in Melbourne and Sydney and to a lesser extent Brisbane, because majority of the people in Australia live in those three areas. So that it's basically, yeah, looking at what's happened, and that it's all come about because of the increased property prices in the last 5 years in Melbourne and Sydney, basically.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, which begs the question in the interim, would they move the thresholds up for the exemptions? Because as we know, and this is what I mentioned in sort of like the first minute or so of this episode, I was saying that these thresholds might actually tarnish some of the market. For example, if we take Victoria for a minute, there is no stamp duty for first home buyers under the $600,000 mark, which actually that segment of the market, sometimes you see a lot of sale figures exactly on the $600,000 mark because of that mentality of we've got this barrier here about we don't want to pay a cent of stamp duty, so it must be 600 or under. So my question is, in the interim, with everything rising, do you think they might raise it a little bit just to give a bit of leeway while they sort things out, particularly in New South Wales, obviously, or, you know, are making a decision sooner rather than later on this land tax versus stamp duty?
And I suppose that's what they're all going to thrash out in the coming months, isn't it? But, like, it's very, again, coming back to this standardisation, Victoria's land tax threshold at the minute is about $280,000. So yeah. If you've got three investment properties in Victoria, you'd be hurting quite a bit quite now, especially with the growth of the last 4 or 5 years. So it's quite a low threshold, whereas Sydney's much, or New South Wales much higher, and a lot of homeowners would never reach it. So yeah, it does need an overhaul. There's no doubt about that. But where to is anyone's guess. But be prepared, listening out there, before entering the market, or if you're in the market, be prepared that stamp duty and land tax is probably going to change in the next 12 months.
Yeah, completely agree. And well, as those changes come about, we might do an updated episode on where they sit, so everyone can get the info firsthand from, hopefully you see us as a trusted source, I'm sure many people do, to, I guess, unpick that and actually give you what you need to know state by state, because it is something you need to factor in, whether you're a first home buyer or an investor, and something that can be a bit complex to be across sometimes as well.
Absolutely. Now, another thing that I wanted to broach with you and get your thoughts on. Let's say come next year or this year, there's an introduction of land tax to all properties and there's no stamp duty at all. All right?
Yep.
Land tax is calculated on the land value.
Yep.
So how do I avoid land tax if I want to buy five properties?
It sounds like a riddle. I don't know that you can.
You buy apartments.
Yeah, okay, there you go. It was a riddle.
Because it was sort of a riddle. You buy apartments because the land tax is portioned amongst the 60 or 80 units within the block.
In the complex.
Right?
Yep.
So the land tax is almost non-existent, okay? So do we want to buy an apartment? Does that fit our strategy? Are we buying property for the sake of avoiding land tax? All right. Now, I hope it doesn't come to that, but that's without foreseeing the future, that's one way to avoid paying land tax if that's our only choice.
100%, although I would chime in there and say that if we're making decisions just based on that one component, it could be dangerous. Obviously, you want to avoid land tax where you can, or minimise, I should say, your land tax where you can. But you've got, there's so many factors, as we know, vacancy rates, the block itself, you know, what's happening in there, the apartment itself, those sorts of things. But I understand what your point is, very valid, you know, minimise it, buy apartments, why not? And we could see that apartment market really kick off if that's the case, because some people would just say, well, I don't want to buy a big house that's going to have growth over time, even though it might be at the same price point as an apartment, because I don't want this land tax hanging over my head. So that could be interesting.
And that's what I was getting at, is it could change the landscape of property in Australia dramatically in the next 5 years. But yeah, look, we're just speculating here. We don't really know anything at the moment. We just wanted to have a yarn about stamp duty and land tax. First of all, understanding what the two are for first-time listeners, but then ploughing through it to see what's going to come in the next 12 months or so, and how can we adapt and strategize as we need to if we're entering the market for the first time or we're building a portfolio of properties.
Most definitely. Hopefully that has helped unpack those topics for you. For those of you who've never heard of either of those, or you're not really sure about what land tax is or how it's calculated, but we will keep you posted on updates throughout 2021 as those changes do get announced or come into effect, because we want to keep you posted. If there are any other topics, I mean, you know, land tax, stamp duty, directly related to property, but if there are any other topics of some of those items that you're really not sure what they mean, and if we haven't previously covered off on them in previous episodes, please let us know. John and I really love to be able to add value to your time. You know, listening to a podcast, you might be walking, you might be driving. We want to make sure your time is used wisely and we're adding value to your time. So please let us know what you'd like to hear about.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for further info, if you want to stay updated yourself and not have to rely on us, you can go to the Office of State Revenue in your state. So yeah, you can click on links to that and maybe follow them as you need to, and they can provide you with further updates, because that's really where it's at in release, these breaking stories.
Most definitely. So the long short of it is, we'll keep you posted on any changes. Hope you've got some intel from the difference on stamps versus land tax. And thank you for joining us today. Thanks for tuning in, and hope you've learned something.
Absolutely. Yeah, good chat, and we'll talk soon.
Will do. Speak to you soon.
All right, bye.
We acknowledge the Darkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respect to their elders, past and present. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast.
Taking your property journey to the next level starts with education.
That's why we make this podcast, but we've also created online courses to equip you with the knowledge you need to take the next steps.
I've created the Solvair Online Academy, open to both first home buyers and seasoned investors, where I share my tips and experience from 20 years in the property space.
And I've created the Buying Coach, built from my experience as a buyer's advocate to demystify the confusion around purchasing property, particularly for first home buyers.
Follow the links in the show notes to sign up and get started today.
This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, is an authorised representative of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.